Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Inside Politics. I'm John King in Washington. Thank you for sharing a remarkable news day with us. We begin this hour with a brazen spy drama. We'll take you straight to the Pentagon now. A briefing on a Chinese balloon over Montana.
Conducting press briefings here in our temporary press briefing room while our primary location undergoes extensive technical renovations and upgrades. We do greatly appreciate your patience and flexibility as we work to install some long overdue upgrades to the Pentagon press briefing room. Because we do not have internet or phone capability in this area of the Pentagon for a variety of reasons, our normal call-in options will not be available. So for those who have had to call in, we apologize for the inconvenience. However, we will aim to get our briefing transcripts and the audio up as quickly as possible for reporting purposes. We'll also aim to answer your questions through our DOD press desk when you send them to us. Moving forward, we'll look at ways to improve our briefing operations and the facilitation and expect that our regular press briefings will resume back in the press briefing room in middle to late May. So again, we appreciate your patience and flexibility and extend our thanks to the Department of the Air Force for allowing us to use Airman's Hall as our temporary briefing home. In other news, Secretary Austin returned yesterday from a very productive series of meetings in the Republic of Korea and the Philippines. The Secretary and his Korean counterpart, Minister Lee Jong-sup, jointly reaffirmed measures to enhance extended deterrence on the Korean Peninsula. The two leaders additionally pledged to closely cooperate regarding U.S. strategic assets in the future, as well as further expand and bolster the level and scale of combined exercises and training. In the Philippines, Secretary Austin had his first in-person meeting with his counterpart, Secretary Galvez, and reiterated that the U.S. commitment to Philippine security is ironclad. The Secretary expressed his appreciation for the Philippines' approval of four new Enhanced Defense Cooperation Agreement locations, and both Secretary Austin and Secretary Galvez noted that the EDCA is a key pillar of alliance cooperation and supports combined training exercises and interoperability. Separately, the Department of Defense announced today a significant new package of security assistance for Ukraine. This includes the authorization of a presidential drawdown of security assistance valued at up to $425 million, as well as $1.75 billion in Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative funds. The presidential drawdown is the 31st such drawdown of equipment from DOD inventories for Ukraine. In total, the U.S. has now committed $32 billion in security assistance to Ukraine since 2014 and $29.3 billion since Russia's unprovoked and illegal invasion nearly 1 year ago this month. Today's announcement includes critical air defense capabilities to help Ukraine defend its people, as well as armored infantry vehicles and more equipment that Ukraine is using to effectively, including Javelin anti-tank missiles, artillery, ammunition, and conventional and long-range rockets for U.S.-provided HIMARS. Additional information on the security package can be found on defense.gov. In regards to our announcement last night regarding the high-altitude surveillance balloon, I'm not going to have much new information to provide other than to say that the North American Aerospace Defense Command continues to monitor it closely. While we won't get into specifics in regards to the exact location, I can tell you that the balloon continues to move eastward and is currently over the center of the continental United States. Again, we currently assess that the balloon does not present a military or physical threat to people on the ground at this time, and we'll continue to monitor and review options. Finally, Secretary Austin will host a bilateral meeting today here in the Pentagon with Australian Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Defense Richard Marles. The Secretary looks forward to discussing bilateral defense cooperation and our mutual security efforts within the Indo-Pacific region and beyond. A full readout of the engagement we'll post later today to defense.gov. And with that, we'll go ahead and move to your questions. We'll start with AP, Tara Kopp.
Hi, Pat. Thank you for doing this. China has said this is just a weather balloon that has veered off course. Why is the Pentagon convinced that this is a surveillance balloon? And then can you give us a little bit more on the status of the balloon? You said it's in the central of the central U.S. What state? Do you have any guidance for people as they see this balloon or they're trying to photograph it or maybe try and interfere with it?
Sure. Thanks, Tara. So first of all, we are aware of the PRC's statement. However, the fact is we know that it's a surveillance balloon, and I'm not going to be able to be more specific than that. We do know that the balloon has violated U.S. airspace and international law, which is unacceptable. And so we've conveyed this directly to the PRC at multiple levels. And in terms of specific locations, I'm not going to be able to go into specific locations again, other than to say it's moving eastward at this time. Yeah, you had a follow-up.
As people start to see the balloon, do you have any guidance for should they try not to interfere, not photograph?
So the balloon is currently assessed to be at about 60,000 feet. So again, well above the range of civilian air traffic or where civilian air traffic would normally fly. Certainly aware that there are cameras, civilian-owned commercial cameras that could spot this balloon in terms of guidance to folks. Again, this is something that NORAD is closely monitoring. We do assess at this time that it does not pose a physical threat, as I mentioned, to people on the ground. So we'll just leave it at that. Jennifer.
General Ryder, who is controlling this balloon right now?
Again, we know that this is a Chinese balloon, but beyond that, I'm not going to have specifics.
But is it, you say that it's moving eastward and it's over the continental U.S., it's not over Montana anymore. Is the Chinese government controlling the movement of the balloon, or is it just floating with airstreams?
Thanks, Jennifer. So I'm not going to go into any specific intelligence that we may have. Again, we know this is a Chinese balloon and that it has the ability to maneuver. But I'll just leave it at that.
And once it's over a body of water, will you shoot it down?
Again, right now we're monitoring the situation closely, reviewing options. But beyond that, I'm not going to have any additional information. We go to Tony.
One quickie on the balloon. Can you confirm the photos that are out there that this is not the man in the moon and that is the actual balloon?
Thanks, Tony. So certainly aware of photos being posted online. I'm not going to get into the business of confirming whether or not those are, where those photos come from. Again, I can tell you that the U.S. government, NORAD, is monitoring this closely, and we will continue to review options.
How close was the U.S. to ordering was the president to ordering a shoot down of the balloon?
Yeah, so again, I'm not going to get into internal discussions within the White House. Again, right now, we assess that there is no threat, physical threat or military threat to people on the ground. So we're continuing to monitor. And we'll just leave it at that. Thank you. Let me go to Janie, and then we'll go to Rio.
Thanks, Janitor. Welcome to home. I have two questions. It's come on. Okay. In response to Secretary Austin's recent remarks that more U.S. strategic assets will come to the South Korea, North Korea warned of stronger provocations in the near future. What is your comment on this?
Well, it's certainly not surprising given North Korea's track record of making bellicose statements. Again, what we're focused on is on preserving peace, security, and stability in the Indo-Pacific region. And so Secretary Austin's visit was an opportunity to, again, reaffirm our strong and close alliance with the Republic of Korea. And so that will remain our focus, is on working with South Korea and other nations in the region to deter aggression and ensure a free and open Indo-Pacific.
South Korea has announced that it will be test the high-powered monster ballistic missile with a nuclear warhead level. This is a defense against North Korea's nuclear warhead. How do you agree this?
I'm sorry, Jane, I missed the first part of your question. Can you repeat that?
South Korea has announced that it will be a test a high-powered monster ballistic missile with the nuclear warhead levels. This is the defense.
Yeah, I don't have anything on that. I'd refer you to the government of South Korea. Thank you. Let me go to Rio, and then I'll come back over here.
Okay, thank you very much. Two questions on the Chinese balloon. So there is a speculation that the Chinese balloon flew over Japanese airspace before reaching the U.S., continental U.S. Can you confirm that?
I've seen those press reports. Again, as we acknowledged in our statement that we posted last night, we have seen this type of balloon activity elsewhere before. But again, I'm not going to get into intelligence, and I'm not going to have any further information to provide.
Secondly, how will this incident affect the Secretary's future engagement with Chinese counterpart to maintain the open lines of the communication?
I think we've been very clear that we're always open to maintaining an open line of communication with the PRC. And in that regard, nothing has changed. Thank you. Let me go to Phil, and then I'll come over to Kasim.
Is the position of the balloon classified?
Phil, right now, what we're not going to do is get into a hour-by-hour location of the balloon. Again, we're monitoring it closely. As I mentioned, right now, it's over the center of the continental United States. That's about as specific as I'm going to get.
But I understand my being inconvenient, but does the public not have a right to know if the balloon is over their state?
The public certainly has the ability to look up in the sky and see where the balloon is. Thank you. Kasim?
General, you said the balloon is maneuverable. So does that mean that it's not drifting?
So the balloon is maneuverable. Clearly, it's violated U.S. airspace. And again, we've communicated that fact to the PRC.
If possible, can you tell us if the balloon, when it entered the U.S. airspace, has it changed its course in any way?
The balloon has changed its course, which is, again, why we're monitoring it. But that's about as specific as I can get. Thank you. Go to Matt.
So you've said at this point the balloon doesn't pose any risks to citizens. How is it that the U.S. can assess that, given that the balloon is at such an altitude, you know, without actually getting eyes on it up close and assessing the equipment that's on board? And secondly, are there any alternatives being considered to shooting it down? Is there any option to take this balloon out of the sky intact to maybe get a better look at that equipment?
Yeah, so again, this is a surveillance balloon, operating at about 60,000 feet. Clearly, you know, we did a very close assessment in terms of what it's doing. And as I mentioned, military commanders have assessed that there is no physical or military threat to people on the ground. And so in that regard, we'll continue to monitor. In terms of way ahead, we will continue to review options, but I'm not going to have anything further to provide on that. So thank you. Ma'am.
Thank you, Pat. You said that this is violating our airspace, so why not take it down?
Yeah, so, clearly as we assess options and considering the size of the payload on this, looking at the potential for debris and the impact on civilians on the ground or property damage, again, running through the various factors and looking at in terms of does it pose a potential risk to people while in the air? And right now, as I mentioned, we assess that it does not pose a risk to people on the ground as it currently is traversing the continental United States. And so out of an abundance of caution, cognizant of the potential impact to civilians on the ground from a debris field, right now we're going to continue to monitor and review options.
And if I may, you mentioned that we've seen this kind of activity before, so why are we sharing this one and why last night if you were following it for a few days? Is this some sort of sign that we should take from China ahead of Blinken's visit or from the activity that we had in the Philippines?
So in terms of any hypotheticals about messaging from PRC, I'd refer you to them on that front. Again, I think what makes this different is the duration and the length of which it has been over U.S. territory. But beyond that, I'm not going to be able to go into any more specifics. Mike.
Thanks, Pat. Yesterday, a senior defense official said that the intelligence gathering capability of this balloon would be no better than any Chinese satellite in low Earth orbit. If that's the case, why would Beijing go through the trouble and expense to send this balloon on such a journey?
Yeah, I'd have to refer you back to the PRC on that.
Any opinion why?
Again, look, we're monitoring this. As I mentioned, it's violated U.S. airspace. It's violated international law. We've communicated that back to the government of China. But again, I'd refer you back to China in terms of
But I assume that that the Pentagon is trying to figure this out itself. Why they're bothering to do this if they can already if it's offering no better intelligence gathering than from a satellite, right?
Yeah. Again, I mean that's a statement, not a question. So,
put a question mark at the end of it. Then.
Yeah. Again, I'm not going to have anything other to provide. So, ma'am. Yep. Go to her and then come back to Nancy here.
I was wondering, is there any way that the Pentagon is able to gauge how long it could potentially loiter, comparing to balloons that have been in the past? And, how long do you anticipate that it could loiter?
Sure. Yeah, so as I mentioned, we'll continue to monitor it. Right now, we assess that it'll probably be over the United States for a few days. But we'll continue to monitor, review our options, and keep you updated as we can. Thank you. Okay, let me go to Nancy here.
Hi, General. I want to go back to a couple of things you said. You said several times that the U.S. is reviewing its options. I'd like some clarity. Is the option of shooting down the balloon, particularly as it's going over more populated areas, off the table? Is that still amongst the options that the U.S. military is considering? And if so, under what conditions would it do so?
Yeah, thanks, Nancy. So at this stage, what I can tell you is, again, we're reviewing options. I'm not going to go into more specifics than that. And when and if there's any updates to provide, we'll let you know.
It's been ruled out shooting.
Again, we're monitoring it and we're reviewing options. I'll just leave it there.
And then a senior defense official yesterday said that similar incidents had happened under the previous administration, and yet some of those administration officials have come forward and said they're not familiar with it. Is there any way you could give us more details on when it's happened, over whether it was over the continental U.S. or over U.S. territories? Is that something you could potentially take to provide the public more details about the extent that these things happen?
So what I would tell you right now is that information is classified. I'm not able to provide it other than I can confirm that there have been other incidents where balloons did come close to or cross over U.S. territory.
I just want to reiterate something that Phil said earlier, that given that it's not classified and the public can see it, I just ask that you take the question that we have more specifics on where it is, given that there's no clear security reason by your own estimation in terms of keeping that information from the public.
Sure. Absolutely. And again, we're just not going to get into an hour by hour where the balloon is. So we will do our best to keep you and the public informed in general terms on where the balloon is. And try to be helpful in that regard.
I respect that, but I think if you're not confirming photos, we're in a guessing game where people think it's flying over. I just think some fidelity would be in everybody's.
Understood. And again, I think a key point here to make and to purposefully belabor the point, which is that, again, as this balloon traverses the continental United States, we assess that it currently does not pose a physical or military risk to people on the ground. So we will continue to monitor. We'll continue to review our options. And provide information and updates as we're able to. So, Jennifer.
If it approaches Washington, D.C., will you shoot it down?
Again, Jennifer, we're reviewing options, but I'm not going to get into hypotheticals or speculate on potential future actions. So let me go to the back of the room here, and then I'll come up to Joe.
Thank you, General. Thinking about the route of the balloon, was it impossible for the DOD to deal with the balloon before it reached to the airspace of the United States?
Yeah, so we've been monitoring the balloon. We are aware. Again, as I mentioned, it is a maneuverable craft, and we continue to assess and make appropriate decisions based on how we're going to address, you know, what we perceive as a potential threat or not. The safety and security of the American people is paramount. And so, again, at this time, we assess that it does not pose a physical threat to people on the ground. We'll continue to monitor it, and we'll continue to review options. Thank you. Let me go ahead and go to Joe here, and then we'll come back to this side of the room.
So you said that this is the first time we've this isn't the first time we've seen a balloon fly over the continental U.S. In the past, has it flown over other sensitive areas, such as military bases? You haven't been very specific. It's just the continental U.S.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I haven't been very specific because that information is classified, and I'm just not going to be able to talk about it. So thank you. Idris.
The Canadian Defense Ministry yesterday said they were tracking a second potential spy balloon. Are you tracking a second potential incident? And when the balloon was coming, I guess what I'm confused about is, when were there discussions to shoot down the balloon? Were there any discussions about shooting down the balloon when it was not over the United States, when it was potentially over international waters? Or were the discussions only when it entered U.S. airspace?
Yeah, thanks, Idris. So on your first question, we are tracking one balloon. So in regards to statements by Canada, I'd refer you back to them on that. In terms of the discussions about whether or not to shoot down this balloon, that was an option, right? And so that was something that was taken into consideration. Again, because we assess that currently it does not pose a physical or military risk to people on the ground, for now we're continuing to monitor and review options. Thank you. I'll go back to Ellie and then we'll come up here.
Thank you. How big is the balloon that you're tracking? And have you guys picked up, is it leaving anything in its wake, like sensors?
Yeah, so on your latter question, I'm not going to get into intelligence. We do continue to monitor the balloon. We do know that it is a surveillance balloon. In terms of the size, I'm not able to get into the specifics other than to say that it is big enough that, again, in reviewing our approach, we do recognize that any potential debris field would be significant and potentially cause civilian injuries or deaths or significant property damage. So, again, this is part of the calculus in terms of our overall assessment. But, again, we'll continue to monitor it. We'll continue to review our options and keep you updated as able. Let me go here and then over here.
Thank you. Following up on the balloon question, during your conversation with the Chinese, have they indicated to you what is inside the balloon to prove the point that it's a civilian balloon or weather monitoring thing? And does that assessment differs from your assessment of what is inside the balloon, what it's trying to do? And secondly, on an India question, this week, India and US launched a initiative on critical emerging technologies. This has quite a bit of defense component in it. Can you give us some more details about it and how it's going to strengthen, build up your relationship with India?
Sure. On your second question, I'll have to take that because I just don't have that information in front of me. On the first question, I appreciate it. As I mentioned, we have contacted the PRC. I'm not going to get into their reaction. I'd refer you to them for that. But we have clearly communicated that this balloon is violating U.S. airspace and international law and that this is unacceptable. Thank you. Go over here and then go over here.
Thank you, sir. Is the Pentagon looking at any possibility of maybe altering the course of the balloon to take it to a location where they could shoot it down in a rural area?
Again, monitoring, we're reviewing options, but I'm not going to go into any further specifics. Thank you. Sir?
Thank you, General. Considering that this is a surveillance balloon, as you said, does it have ability to collect very sensitive data, given that it flies over nuclear sites in the state of Montana?
Yeah, so again, I'm not going to get into intelligence. You know, as we mentioned in our statement last night, once the balloon was detected, we acted immediately to protect against the collection of sensitive information, and I'll just leave it at that. Thank you. Phil?
Is there any possibility that there's any nuclear or radioactive material aboard the balloon, or is there anything that's aboard the balloon that makes you believe that it could pose a risk if it were shot down?
Short answer is no. But again, right now we do not assess that the balloon in its current configuration at approximately 60,000 feet poses a physical or military threat to people on the ground. Thank you. Joe?
Ukraine question. The small diameter bomb in the latest Ukraine aid package has the potential to target Crimea. Is that the intent behind providing it now?
So thanks for the question, Joe. So yes, as part of the USAI package, we will be providing ground launch small diameter bombs to Ukraine. This gives them a longer range capability, long range fires capability. That will enable them, again, to conduct operations in defense of their country and to take back their sovereign territory in Russian-occupied areas. When it comes to Ukrainian plans on operations, clearly that is their decision. They are in the lead for those. So I'm not going to talk about or speculate about potential future operations. But again, all along, we've been working with them to provide them with capabilities that will enable them to be effective on the battlefield.
And just as a follow-up to that, can you talk specifically about this particular group of capabilities? You know, how are they tailored to what's happening in Ukraine now? For instance, there's equipment that connects the various air defense systems. Just can you speak to why this specific package now?
Yeah, sure. So again, it's important to look at this from a evolution standpoint in terms of adapting to the conditions on the ground. And so we've been focused on several key areas in the last few months to support Ukraine, specifically air defense capabilities, armor capabilities, long-range fires capabilities, and then combined with training in order to enable them to have the ability to conduct combined arms. And so looking at things like further enhancing and enabling their integrated air defense, which I think everyone continues to watch with horror as Russia conducts aerial bombardment on civilian targets throughout Ukraine. So working with them in those areas, but also through the combined arms training, enabling them to be able to change the equation on the front lines, not only defend their territory, but take back sovereign territory. Thank you. Tony.
You've been listening to Brigadier General Pat Ryder, the Pentagon spokesman, a remarkable briefing, some new information about a giant spy drama in the sky, a Chinese balloon over the central part of the continental United States. It was over a key Air Force base in Montana just yesterday or the day before. Some new information, also some lack of information where General Ryder said some things are classified. Let's get to one of our great correspondents, Alex Marquardt, standing by to help us through this. Alex, he said it's at 60,000 feet. He says it is maneuverable, meaning there's someone at a Chinese military base who is controlling this balloon. The decision not to shoot it down, General Ryder saying, because of the fear, the heavy equipment on board, the debris field could cause civilian deaths or casualties. But he says it is being closely monitored and options are on the table. Those options, of course, including shooting it down, perhaps trying to capture it. What else jumped out at you from this briefing?
Well, when he was pressed as to the exact location of the balloon, he was said he wasn't going to be giving an hour-by-hour update. And when he was asked if it was classified, he said no. But if the American people wanted to see where it is, they can just look up in the sky, which is a rather glib answer given the fact that it is flying at some 60,000 feet. That figure is a new detail from the Pentagon. We had been told that it is in U.S. airspace, of course, in the atmosphere, but not quite in outer space. That is a very high altitude, John, which of course makes the question over how to shoot it down, whether to shoot it down, even more complicated. There are only a handful of fighter jets, I'm told, that can even get up that high. But for the time being, that's not really the argument against shooting it down. The administration, the Pentagon, holding firm that it is simply too dangerous and that for right now there is no real point. They say that the balloon is not a danger to people on the ground. As it flies through the sky, it is not a threat to homeland security. And they say that they have taken steps to prevent this balloon from carrying out its mission of surveillance, of gathering intelligence. The president was briefed on military options. He asked for military options, we're told, and was told by his top commanders that it would not be a good idea to shoot this down simply because of the damage that it could do to people and property on the ground. Remember, this thing is the size of three school buses. It is not just a balloon. It has surveillance equipment on board. We're told it has solar panels on board. So you can imagine if this thing was shot down at some 60,000 feet, that would create quite a bit of debris falling to the ground. So for the time being, despite the Monday morning back quarterbacking and, you know, questions from former officials, current officials as to whether this is a smart idea to continue letting it fly through American airspace. That is what they intend to do for now. They say, of course, that they do have a number of options should they change their mind. John.
Alex Marquardt of the State Department. Appreciate the important context there. Come back when we get new reporting. Let's also go to our other national security correspondent, Kylie Atwood. So, Kylie, this happens. The timing is fascinating. Just as the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, about to go to Beijing, that trip now postponed. It comes when, if you look at the inbox, that's a polite way to put it, of issues between the United States and China, it was already pretty crowded, pretty complicated, pretty tense. And now the Chinese send a spy balloon over the continental United States. What are U.S. officials saying? Can they answer the question why and why now?
Well, that is the problem here, is that they can't really answer exactly, you know, why this is over the U.S. and a lot of the specific questions as to, you know, what the next few days here look like. We heard just from the Pentagon that this balloon is expected to be over the United States for a few days, and that is significant. But when it comes to the Secretary of State's trip to China that was expected to be just over the weekend, it's been pulled down just hours before he was supposed to get on that plane, John. He made a phone call to his Chinese counterpart this morning saying that the U.S. had assessed that conditions weren't really in a good spot right now for him to be making that trip, calling it unacceptable that this balloon is over U.S. airspace, saying it violates U.S. sovereignty. Now, the question is, when will they be able to reschedule this trip? Because they're saying that it's being, delayed right now, but they aren't giving us a date for when they're actually going to have this visit back on the board. And I asked a senior State Department official, you know, what conditions have to be met for this trip to actually be rescheduled. They don't have an answer to that. And, you know, one thing heading into this trip, as you said, they wanted to talk about a lot of different things, but a State Department official said that this balloon being over the United States would have severely limited what they were able to cover in that meeting, making it simply unproductive. John.
A remarkable moment, Kylie. I would appreciate the important reporting there. Let's get some insight and expertise now from a man with an unrivaled resume, the former defense secretary, former CIA director, former White House chief of staff, Leon Panetta. Leon, grateful for your time on this day. I want to start with some of the capability questions. Then we'll pull out and get to the big picture of maybe why or what this is about. In terms of capability, based on your experience at the CIA and at the Pentagon, does the United States, first and foremost, have any military capability to get up to 60,000 feet and capture this balloon? I assume that would be the primary wish. Can we get it? Can we see it? Can we judge the capabilities inside it?
Well, I'd be very surprised if we didn't have that capability at 60,000 feet. It is our airspace that we have to protect. So I suspect that there are ways to be able to go after this balloon, whether to shoot it down or whether to intercept it in some way, or whether to interfere with what the maneuverability of the balloon, which obviously is of concern. But there are ways, I am absolutely sure, of being able to, in one way or another, not just track the balloon, but be able to maintain some element of control over where it goes.
I assume if you were the Secretary of Defense or the CIA director or the White House Chief of Staff at this moment, your advice to the President of the United States was, whatever our capabilities, under no circumstances let this get outside of the United States airspace now that it's in it without capturing it or taking it down, right?
No, I think that's correct. You cannot allow a balloon. I mean, there are two important points here that were made at the briefing that are of concern. One is that it's a surveillance balloon. So it's doing more than just checking the weather. It's obviously doing surveillance, and that means it's gathering intelligence. The second thing is that it is maneuverable. So it isn't just a balloon that's gone astray. It's being handled deliberately. And for that reason, I think it's pretty clear that we cannot allow this balloon to simply keep going in space and ultimately return to China. That's not going to happen. So I'm hoping that the Pentagon will continue to monitor it and that it will keep all options on the table in order to try to make sure that ultimately we're able not only to know where this balloon is, but to be able to control what happens to it. That's very important.
U.S. officials have said, they're not attaching their names to this, that they do not believe that the Chinese have any capability in a balloon that they don't also have in a satellite in space. Mark me down as skeptical, because why then would the Chinese fly a balloon over the continental United States? What do we know about the intelligence gathering capabilities of these Chinese spy balloons?
Well, that's a good question because, you know, from my perspective, they have the capability using satellites, and they do, as a matter of fact, gather intelligence through some pretty sophisticated satellites that move over our country. In addition to that, they obviously have drone capability as well. So the question then becomes, why a balloon? You know, it's tough to answer that question. Is it a sophisticated camera of some sort that is able to pick up more sensitive information? We don't know the answer to that. So I think we have to take a strong position here that it has invaded our airspace, that it's a surveillance, an intelligence surveillance balloon, and that the Chinese can maneuver this balloon, which means that we cannot allow it to get back in Chinese hands.
And so then let's pull out then to the bigger picture. The China challenge has been a dilemma for U.S. officials, including all of your time in government. It is front and center now for President Biden, whether it's about technology, whether it's about the expansion of U.S. military capabilities now with bases in the Philippines. It is economic. It is geopolitical. It is military. At a moment when the Chinese say we would like things to be normal, that's what they keep saying publicly, we would like things to be more normal again, Xi Jinping decided to send a spy balloon over the continental United States. Why?
Well, you know, look, there's no question. This is a tense relationship, particularly at this point in time. And there are a lot of moving parts here, not only this balloon, but also the fact that the United States has moved forward establishing access to bases in the Philippines, building up our base in Guam, building up our base in Okinawa as well. So both sides are moving chess pieces at this point in order to try to establish leverage over the other. That's what's going on. And at the same time, there was obviously this trip that was planned by the Secretary of State. I think he was right to cancel it because there's so much attention is focused on this balloon that it would undermine his ability to have any effective dialogue. But also, I guess we hope that ultimately things will settle down and they'll be able to get back to a negotiating table. But right now, it's a very tense situation between the United States and China.
But before we go to that point about who talks to whom when, is it fair to assume that first the United States either captures or shoots down the balloon, takes a look at what's in it, and then the President of the United States picks up the phone to his Chinese counterpart and says, what the hell's going on?
I think there will be a point in time when one way or another, the United States is going to have to take action against this balloon, and they'll inform the PRC about what they're doing. You know, to have this balloon at 60,000 feet, that's one thing, but the reality is it could pose very much a hazard. Not only in terms of our intelligence, but also a hazard in terms of our airspace. And for that reason, I think we have to ultimately control this situation.
All right. It's a fascinating few days ahead and then weeks and months after that. Leon Panetta, grateful for your time on this important day, sir. Thank you.
Good to be with you, John.
Thank you. Up next for us, a Simply Gangbusters job report. The January jobs report out today, and it is leaving economists speechless. The United States adding a staggering 517,000 jobs last month, more than doubling what forecasters anticipated. And it's a giant jump from the 260,000 jobs. That's a robust number in and of itself gained in December. Plus, the unemployment rate dropping to 3.4%, the lowest since 1969. That's the year Lyndon Johnson left office and Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. President Biden taking a victory lap earlier this morning.
Next week, I'll be reporting on the State of the Union. But today, I'm happy to report that the State of the Union and the state of our economy is strong. We created 12 million jobs since I took office. Put simply, I would argue the Biden economic plan is working.
With us to break down these numbers, share their reporting and their insights, Bloomberg's Peggy Collins and CNN's Matt Egan. Matt, to you first. It's a wow number. Break it down. 517,000 is the big headline, but even when you go through it, it's all a lot of little wows, too.
Yeah, John, it really is. I mean, this is another reminder that we are living through history. We've never seen an economy quite like this. And the jobs market, it is so hot that it is breaking economic models. We went back and looked, and the most optimistic economist was expecting 305,000 jobs to be added. So today's number is literally off the charts. And when you dig in, there was across-the-board strength. I mean, bars and restaurants added almost 100,000 jobs. Government, healthcare, retail, construction, manufacturing, hotels, all of them adding jobs. There's almost no weakness here. And when I'm talking to economists today, I'm hearing two things. One, disbelief. Mark Zandi from Moody's, he told me that this number is so strong that it probably overstates things a bit. I mean, the economy is strong, but maybe not 500,000 jobs strong. He's wondering whether COVID and weather maybe inflated these numbers a bit. But I'm also hearing a sense that a recession is probably not imminent. Mark Zandi said that there's nothing about today's report that suggests an ongoing recession or one that's coming soon. And even some people in the recession camp are changing their tune a bit. Ethan Harris at Bank of America, he told me he doesn't think that the 2023 recession that he's been calling for has been canceled, but he wonders whether it's been delayed. And even he concedes that the soft landing that once looked improbable, it is growing more likely.
Matt, stay with us. And so, Peggy, 517,000 after 8 interest rate hikes by the Federal Reserve, which are meant to cool the job market and slow the overall economy. A lot of people are having the conversations, well, is it possible to tame inflation, have a soft landing, meaning we don't tip into recession, and still keep this overwhelming, not 517,000 every month, but 200,000 plus a month job growth? People thought that was impossible. Do we need to rethink the question?
I think we do. I think the key thing here is the big job gains without big pay gains, right? And that's where we're getting the good mix for the economy. People are getting more paychecks, but the paychecks aren't getting bigger, and prices, therefore, are not necessarily going to rise as much as we saw last year. So I think that gives the Fed a little bit of room, but certainly this gigantic number today that was very surprising keeps pressure on the Fed to see if they have to raise interest rates at a higher clip or for longer than people expected.
And yet, if you look, I would just show you a Fox News poll. You're dissatisfied with the direction of the country. That's usually based on the economy. A year ago and now, Republicans dissatisfied, majority Democrats dissatisfied. People don't feel it. We're just saying, hey, America had 500,000 jobs, more than that last month. They revised upward the last month's numbers. Even in the rearview mirror, the numbers are going up. What's the disconnect? All the talk of a potential recession or inflation?
I think that's part of it. But also, you know, we've written more at Bloomberg about egg prices than I ever expected to. So I think people are seeing it in the grocery store as well. But when they actually go home, I think two things are happening. They are still getting paychecks, and people want to go out and spend and do things because we went through the pandemic. So the demand is still there.
Right. It is a remarkable new moment, you might say. Peggy Collins, Matt Egan, appreciate it. We'll stay on top of it. We'll see if next month is anywhere close to this month. Up next for us, back to politics and a new Jim Jordan. Some brand new CNN reporting on how Chairman Jordan wants to be more factual, less firebrand. His many critics are skeptical. Jim Jordan is attempting a rebrand. CNN has some brand new reporting on how the Ohio Republican is promising a more meticulous and a more cautious approach as he now leads key GOP investigations on Capitol Hill, even giving members binders of reading materials and vowing to follow the facts. The House GOP conference chair, Elise Stefanik, telling CNN this: it's important to be methodical. Jim knows the different levers to use. Now, Democrats say they would welcome a change, but they are quite skeptical because of years of this guy.
Calling it an attack is like saying the sky's blue. Of course it was an attack.
You never met the president.
That's correct.
He had three meetings again with Zelensky and it didn't come up.
And two of those they had never heard about as far as I know.
And President,
there was no reason for it.
President Zelensky never made an announcement. This is what I can't believe. And you're their star witness.
I just want to know, when do Americans get their First Amendment liberties back?
You're making this a personal thing and it isn't.
It's not a personal thing.
No, you are.
With me to share this new reporting, CNN's Elena Treen and CNN's Sarah Murray. So everybody's entitled to second chances in life. It would be great to see if they actually had oversight, not just aggressive whatever politics. But really, Jim Jordan, explain how he thinks he can be a new, fair, cautious, meticulous, but still tough.
Well, look, I think as you pointed out, he's seen as a deeply partisan person, someone who chases conspiracies, someone who's, you know, in recent years made a career out of, you know, providing cover for Donald Trump. Now he wants to be someone who's a little bit more meticulous. He wants to take it slower when it comes to his investigation into the Justice Department, try to build his facts behind the scenes in the hopes of getting more out of DOJ. You know, he's sort of deferred to James Comer, who's the oversight chair, to really take the lead on the Hunter Biden investigation and really be hammering, you know, all different agencies across government about this Biden documents thing. And Jordan is happy to sort of try to bide his time. He wants to be viewed as a serious chairman of this powerful committee. Now, we also talked to a lot of Democrats who are very skeptical of his ability to try to pull something like this off.
Right. So let's one of those Democrats is the veteran Jerry Connolly of Virginia. He says if he wants to turn a new leaf and be credible and methodical and try to get at the facts as opposed to wacko conspiracy theories, that would be welcome. I'm just shaking in anticipation to see it. You get the sarcasm at the end there.
Oh, yes. He was very I spoke for a long while with Jerry Connolly about this. And I should say he has recently been appointed to the weaponization subcommittee, the so-called weaponization of the federal government that Jim Jordan is also chairing. So he'll be one of the Democrats pushing against that. But a lot of Democrats are very skeptical of this. We talked to Jerry Nadler. He was like, I'm skeptical. I'm not sure if this can actually be pulled off by him. But Jim Jordan really wants this investigation and the series of things that they look into to be seen as credible, particularly when it gets into looking at the potential or the alleged politicization of the FBI. He knows he's going to have to work with the DOJ. He knows he may have to work with the special counsel, on some of the classified documents. And so he wants to be seen, as Sarah said, as more methodical and more serious.
And it is. The list of issues is very important. We'll see where it goes. We'll see whether it's fair and meticulous, sure, fact-based, or whether it's political. But the southern border, the Judiciary Committee wants to look at the weaponization, as they call it, of the FBI. The special counsel investigation of Biden, the question is, will they also take a look at, say, Trump? That's one of the questions. Will it be fair?
Yeah, I think that that is a question. Look, if he wants anyone to take these investigations seriously, particularly this DOJ FBI one that's so important to him, particularly anything related to the documents, you do have to try to get at least a little bit of buy-in across the aisle. You know, one of the things that was interesting is they interviewed a former FBI official behind closed doors this week. And I think a lot of people who on the other side of the aisle who were waiting on that interview thought it was just going to be a nightmare, a total spectacle. When I talked to people familiar with that interview, they said it was actually pretty professional. We didn't see Jim Jordan come out afterwards filleting this former official who was meeting with them behind closed doors, and it kind of surprised them. Again, they're saying, is this what we're going to see from Jim Jordan going forward? We're going to wait and see.
Well, we'll take it one day at a time, right?
Yes, we will.
We'll be open to facts as we go forward, and we'll watch them. Thank you both for coming and appreciate it. And thanks for your time today on Inside Politics. Busy day of breaking news. Casey Hunt picks up after a quick break. Have a good weekend.
When you work next level. And when you play next level. And when it's time to sleep, Sleep Number smart beds are designed to embrace your uniqueness, providing you with high-quality sleep every night. Sleep next level. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, the Queen Sleep Number C4 smart bed is only $1,599. Save $300 for a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.